Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Brachos Daf Chaf Beis, Brachos 22. On today's Daf Yomi, the Gemara brings a position of Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. Rabbi Yehuda said, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira taught in the Braisa, I used to say, Ein divrei Torah mekabon tuma, that words of Torah are not able to contract tuma, and so therefore, and this is the important part, that a man who's had an emission, an emission of seed is permitted to study the Torah. So the Gemara then continues. We'll come back to this point. Rabbi Yehuda Maseira, the Gemara tells a story. Ma'isa b'talmud echad shayim megam game. There was a student who was not reading the words megam game. He wasn't. There's a different way to understand this. Some say he wasn't reading all the words. Some say he was skipping the name of Hashem, and he was doing this l'malam the Rabbi Yehuda Maseira. He was studying the Torah in this manner in front of Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira said to him, "Bini, petach bichavi ya'iru dvarecha. Open up your mouth, and say words of Torah. You don't need to skip the words. You don't need to read them fast. Shein divrei Torah mekabon tuma, because the words of the Torah are not able to contract tuma, as it states in Jeremiah chapter 23 verse 29. Halo cho divari ka'esh nu mashem. My words are like fire." And my eshon mekabel tuma, just like fire does not contract tuma, so too af divrei Torah in a mekabel tuma. So too words of Torah do not contract tuma. And so we see from here that Rabbi Yehuda Maseira says that even though a man has had an emission of seed, he's still able to study Torah without going to the mikvah. So Tosos in Baba Kama 82b asks the question. How can Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira have nullified the Takana of Ezra? There was one time a Takana of Ezra, that Ezra made a reform that after having an emission, a man must immerse in the mikvah. And how could Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira have nullified this Takana when we have a principle that one court is not able to nullify the court of the decree of another court unless they are greater than them in numbers and wisdom? And Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira is not going to be greater than Ezra in numbers and wisdom. So the Gemara there in Baba Kama, Tosfos gives three answers to this question. The first answer that Tosfos gives, and that it's possible that Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira is of the opinion that Ezra and his court never made such a takana. They never made such a reform that says that somebody who has an emission must immerse in the mikvah. The second possibility is that Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira was of the position that Ezra himself, when he made this takana, he stipulated that if another court wants to come and nullify it, they are able to. And in this manner, if the first court makes the reform on the basis of a stipulation, under these circumstances, you can indeed nullify the earlier decree, and this is on the basis of Moed Katan 3b. And the third answer of Tosfos is that indeed Ezra's takana was never accepted by all of Israel. When we say another bezin cannot nullify the previous takana, that's under a circumstance where in fact it was spread throughout all of Israel. But in this case, Ezra's takana never spread throughout all of Israel, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira was able to nullify it. Rabbeinu Yonah explains that there's another reason why he was able to nullify the takana. He saw that the majority of the community was not able to follow it, and since the majority of the community was not able to follow this very strict decree that you can't study Torah until you go to the mikvah, therefore he was able to nullify it. The Rambam, Maimonides, and Laws of Shema, chapter 4, Law 8, combines these two reasons together, and he says because this takana did not spread throughout all of Israel, and because most of the community was not able to uphold it, therefore he was able to nullify it. And so that is the way the Rambam rules. There is a work in Ashkenaz in the 12th century which is called Shut Min HaShemayim, which is basically responsive from heaven. And under these circumstances, the question was raised in this Ashkenaz, where the concept of going to the mikvah was very strong, where he interprets this sugya, where he asked the question, is a person required to go to the mikvah after an emission before prayer? So we know that Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira nullified the decree of Ezra, that you're not required to go to the mikvah, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira says you're not required to go to the mikvah before studying Torah. But the Gaonim write that was only for Torah study, but for prayer, a person does need to immerse in the mikvah for prayer. And so therefore, we see from here that maybe you're required to. Now, we know that some are lenient, and they say that even says the Shutman HaShemayim that even for prayer it's nullified. But he says, and they do this on the basis of the Yerushalmi, because the Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud in Yoma, chapter 8, Halacha Aleph, says that on Yom Kippur, a person is prohibited to wash oneself and also to have marital relations. And so the Yerushalmi asks, well, if you're prohibited to wash yourself, obviously if you're prohibited to wash, you're obviously prohibited in marital relations. So therefore, because you would have to wash yourself before you pray, and you wouldn't be able to pray. And so therefore, the Yerushalmi answers that is talking about a place where the practice was not to immerse before prayer. And so we see, or we could say it was prior to the Takana, but we see from here that there was, in the Yerushalmi, that there were those who had the custom not to immerse before prayer. But the Shutt Min HaShemayim says, actually, we cannot rely upon the Yerushalmi. He says, first of all, if we were there, we would have challenged this Yerushalmi. And there's no way you could pray when you're in a state of ritual purity. And even the Rambam, who says that they nullified the Takana of Ezra, the students of Rabbeinu write that the Rosh Yeshivas in Babylon were questioning this. And so the Rambam responded to them that he really never nullified it, but actually he only writes the letter of the law. But what really a person really should be, a man should be immersing in the mikvah. And indeed, the Shulchan Aruch rules like the Rambam that a person is not required to immerse in the mikvah before prayers. However, the Mishnah Berurah writes in the name of the Megadim that one who has the custom to immerse in the mikvah before prayers will be blessed. And so therefore, that's how we see it. It's a very strong custom of immersing in the mikvah before prayers.